Welcome back to Heroic Journeys, Leveling Up with Chantel and Tamara. Today we want to talk about anchoring intentions for 2023. In our last episode, we led you through a visioning process to think about the different facets of yourself, mind, heart, body, spirit, soul, and think about your vision for the coming year. And in this episode, we want to help you anchor your intentions. So welcome. And this is where we share our passion for personal development and for human evolution.
So talking about rituals and routines, I looked it up online to see what the difference was. And basically, rituals are things that you do like on purpose, with intention, with a meaningful purpose behind it. And also, what came to mind when I was thinking about this topic was the guilt that I used to have about not doing all the things. You know, like I thought, well, first thing in the morning, you know, I should do my morning pages. I should go for a walk. I should do yoga. I should do all these things. And then I felt like a failure for not doing them. So once I released that guilt and was just like, I don't have to do all the things. I can add what I want when it works for me, you know, like with the seasons, right? Like sometimes you can go out for a walk, sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
Just making it all okay and simplifying it. So there was something that we thought up of to simplify everything. And it was basically move the body, do something that moves the body, something that connects you to your spirit, to source, and quiet the mind.
Yeah.
Something that does one of those three, and then you're good for the
yeah,
day.
Yeah. And that three-step, I mean, that was Chantel's genius. Move the body, quiet the mind, connect to source. And as soon as I had that little three-part formula, I don't know what it is about formulas and frameworks. It just kind of unleashed my ideas about how could that work for me. And I love the point you made about the guilt, because our whole emphasis in the visioning process was about removing the guilt and about removing the shoulds. And that quote from Stephen Covey, vision is stronger than baggage, is, you know, we bring so much baggage into the new year about, oh, I gained this extra weight, or, oh, I fell into these bad habits, or, you know, and it's all about trying to deal with the baggage. And it's so draining. It's so weakening. But when you have a vision and the ritual, you talk about intention, you know, when you have an intention and something you want to move towards, that's your flight plan. That's your path forward. And that's compelling. And that's what the energy that you want to keep on track.
It reminds me of like Marie Kondo, Spark Joy, right? Instead of like de-junking and like all of the, oh, no, I'm such a failure for having all this junk. It's more about what do I want to keep? Like, and so that's the energy that we're bringing into this. Yeah. It's like, what's worked for us? Different things work for different people. And what do we want to keep?
That reminds me of the minimalists. Mm. And instead of spark joy, their thing is, will this add value to my life?
Mm-hmm. And meaning.
So, So I think of that too with intentions for the new year, or if you want to call them resolutions. Mm-hmm. We're trying to move away from all of the guilt and baggage around the idea of resolutions. But what will add value to my life? And how can I then create some routines and rituals around that that will be powerful?
Yeah. So what's worked for you? What things have, you know, made of the biggest difference for you?
Well, the biggest thing for me has been the morning routine. And before I talk about my morning routine, I just want to say that one thing that I've found really helpful over the years is if I want to build in a new habit or something that is going to add value to my life, I have to start with something that I know is small enough and painless enough or pleasurable enough that I'll continue it indefinitely. So I remember way back, I have a husband who's a runner. He loves to run and he runs daily if he can. And early on in our marriage, he was, you know, persuading me of the benefits of running and how great this was and everything. And the first time I went out, it was like this 20-minute painful run where I'm gasping and trying to keep up. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do this tomorrow. Why would I do this tomorrow? So I had to scale it back to like, you know, I'm going to take a nice brisk 20-minute walk. And then if I feel like breaking into a run for 30 seconds here or there, you know, I might do that. But I'm not going to do anything today that I don't see myself doing again tomorrow. And I think that's really helpful, because the more painful it is, the more effort you have to put, the more efforting it requires, the less the chances that I'll carry it forward.
Yeah, and I find myself too as a lower energy being, you know, yoga and dance has worked so much better for me than feeling like I have to go for a walk or a run. You know, like I still do go for walks.
Yeah.
It's just the daily thing.
Yeah.
The dance has just been like, you know, that's fun. Like,
yeah.
I can bring in the energy I want. If it's peaceful energy, if it's like pick me up energy, you know.
Yeah. That's the beauty of, I think, any of these, you know, whatever came out of your visioning, and if you haven't watched that episode and want to go back, we'll put the link below. But whatever came out of that, I think the beauty of it is that there are infinite ways to go about it. So if exercise is something that you felt your body needs more of, then pick some kind of a format that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if dance is the thing, and for me, it's a morning walk, until it gets dark enough in the morning that I don't feel like going out. And then it's a little workout on the yoga mat and some Qigong. So the morning routine for me, and I'm not an early riser. Anyone who knows me would be shocked to know that I now get up at 5:45 every morning. And that's not something that happened overnight. It's like I said, it started small and then it built up to, well, I want to include this little ritual in my morning routine, and I want to include this because this is important to me. And it just over time built. And so it's the slow little building blocks that you start with something. And for me, it was 5 minutes of meditation in the morning. I just wanted to sit in the quiet and try to quiet my mind, which is very, very hard for me. But I slowly built up, and so now that's part of my morning routine, is the first thing I get up and I do a 15-minute meditation.
Hmm.
And I have a membership with Mind Valley Learning Platform, and so their lessons are very short, so I often listen to a lesson in the morning, and then I do my workout, which is either a walk or on the mat, 10-minute workout. And then some Qigong, because that is just very grounding for me. It gets me into my body, and I tend to be someone who is in my mind way too much. And so reminding myself to be in the body in the morning is really important.
Mm. And also the why we do things. Like, that's probably why you get up at 5:45 now, is because it feels good, right?
Yeah, it's still not easy.
Yeah.
But you know what, if I jump out of bed, as soon as I'm out of bed, then I'm up. Then, yeah.
And what's worked for me for the early morning thing is, even before I open my eyes, basically, it's like gratitude. Like, gratitude is the first thing. Like, you think of something that you're grateful for, and then set the intention for the day, like whatever it may be. And it's, to me, it's so much easier than this like big long to-do list that you'll never get done, right?
Yeah.
You just have one like grand intention for the day. Like, if, you know, if everything else goes wrong, like, this is the thing I would like to get done.
Yeah.
And then journaling. Journaling has been a bit of an evolution for me, because my dad read my journal as a teenager, and then I didn't write for so many years, but I got back into it the last year or two in particular, and it's been so good. Understanding my human design, understanding how energy moves through me and how I need to express myself. Journaling is like the perfect thing in the morning for me to just get it all out. Like, there's this quote by Louis L'Amour, the water does not run until you turn on the faucet. So it's basically the analogy of, like, sometimes there's gross water in the hose that, you know, if you've left it for a while, and that all that junk has to come out when you're writing. So it can just be whatever your dream was, even if it makes no sense. And then just going into, like, how did I feel in the dream? How did, you know, like, what do I, just anything you can just write in those morning pages.
Yeah.
And you have experience with that too, in the morning pages.
I used to do morning pages way long ago. I just found that I was recycling a lot of my garbage in the morning pages, and it wasn't actually progressing beyond that. I should maybe get back to the morning pages, but the journaling that I do now is usually around some card work in the morning. After I get my son off to work, I have some quiet time before I leave for work where I just usually pull 3 cards maybe from one of my decks and do some journaling around that. And it just gets me thinking about the mind frame that I want to be in for that day, and just being aware maybe of things that are in my subconscious that I am not bringing them to the surface, so that I can be mindful about how I start my day.
And a lot of these rituals and routines are also coping strategies throughout the day, at least I find for me. When I get overwhelmed, I have a shower, and I like to visualize like white light coming through me and like just washing all the energy out that isn't mine. On a busy day at work, you take a break, you go to the bathroom, you have what, half a minute, a minute. I do that grounding exercise too, where I just channel the white light all the way down to the center of the earth and pull up, you know, the earth's energy and just ground myself and take those deep breaths. And it doesn't take very long. So I find that these little routines and rituals, it's not necessarily that you have to do them at a certain time of day, but that you can really connect to yourself again. And journaling has been that for me too. I don't just journal in the morning. Sometimes if I get overwhelmed, I will journal like, this is where I am right now. And my mind opens like thousands of tabs at a time sometimes. And when I write, it's just down to one tab. It really focuses my energy on where am I now? Where do I want to go? And we were talking about William Whitecloud and the GPS. You can't figure out where you're going to go until you know where you are.
Right.
You want to elaborate a little bit more about how that has helped you?
Yeah, well, speaking of intentions, we mentioned, you mentioned the course that we took with William Whitecloud a couple of months ago. And he has a really interesting way of framing intentions. And we hear so much about manifesting and positive affirmations, which never worked for me. Because there was always a part of me that argued against, you know, when you're framing an affirmation in the present tense, I am enjoying my wonderful life as a writer, you know, and inside I'm saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's not happening. Sorry. This is all, you know,
I had to shift my to like, I am learning to do this and this. I'm learning, because that's at least true, right?
Yeah. But it was like being divided against myself, because there was the dream and then there was the part of me that was saying, sorry, but it's not, you know, it's not happening right now. Whereas with William Whitecloud, once you really have an idea of your intentions, your creative intentions, your dreams, the framing of it is, I choose the end result of. And then as you think about that end result, you think about the energy that you would feel and how great that feels. And then at the same time, you take some moments to acknowledge the reality. These are the blockages. This is the situation right now. You can go into that space of, but this is happening, this is not happening. Take some time to acknowledge the reality and then go back to the vision. And I choose the end result of, which I find is great, because there's no division now. It's like I'm acknowledging that I'm not there. My dream is to walk the Camino de Santiago. And at the same time, these are all of the things that would have to fall in place that are not falling in place yet. And still, I choose the end result of a soulful and transformative Camino de Santiago pilgrim walk. Mm-hmm. So you can frame statements around your intentions and go through them every day, which is now part of my morning routine. And that is about acknowledging the dream and acknowledging that it may not be attainable in the moment, but that's the end result that you're choosing, which is really empowering.
This morning I drove to your house and it was like a fog. You could barely see anything, but I knew where I was. I knew where I was going. I had traveled that path before, so I had, you know, some awareness. I appreciated the bumps on the highway to let me know where the stop sign was, so in the intersection of the highway.
Yeah.
But like, that's such a metaphor for life too, you know, like we know where we're going. We don't know what kind of obstacles or challenges we might face, just like this hero's journey, but we can still set our intention of where we want to go.
Yeah. And the great thing about setting an intention is that the brain is wired to problem solve. And so the minute we have a firm intention, then the subconscious goes to work, even without our awareness of just doing the problem solving and figuring out how to fit the pieces together. So then you can just let go and relax and just let that be your end result intention and not worry about how it's going to come forward. I would really recommend for anyone who has a dream, who really wants to move through life towards a dream, but without forcing, to read Michael Singer's book, the surrender experiment,
where or any of his books, the Untethered Soul was like, whoa. Yeah.
But that one in particular is just his life story about letting go and just letting the flow of things move through him. And it's a beautiful life story of just the amazing miracles that happen when you can live in that kind of a surrendered state, which I'm not there yet.
Well, I feel like life is a constant process of surrendering resistance to certain things, like figuring out where we're unconsciously at war with whatever it is, and then choose the anomaly of that. Choose to be like not an enemy of yourself. It reminds me of like how we judge ourselves, we also judge other people. And the more we can love ourselves and let go of the judgment towards ourselves, we can love other people, let go of judgment towards them.
Absolutely.
And just let everything be. There's a lot of things we don't like. I'm not saying we have to like everything that's going on in the world or in our lives, but we can let it be instead of fighting against it, because what we pay attention to will grow stronger. So it's not really what we want anyways.
Yeah. And I think this idea of creating rituals and routines helps with that, because the minute, as soon as you make something a part of the flow of your day, you're not fighting to try and find time for it. You're not trying to get the rocket off the ground and create the energy to make it happen. It's just part of the flow of what happens, which is why I love a morning routine so much. But I also have rituals of, like, I think about coming home from work, and the ritual there is that my husband makes coffee, makes himself an espresso, and he makes me a latte, and we sit down and have a quiet coffee. And I know that no matter how crappy my day's been, I'm going to come home and have a beautiful latte with foam on the top that makes me think of being in Venice, because that's the first latte I ever had. So I connect with, you know, that part of myself that loves to travel and that loves old Europe. And if you can build in to your day those rituals that feed that sense of who you are and what really speaks to your soul.
And how you want to feel, because that is how you want to feel. That's why you want to travel, right? Because you want to feel that. So you're bringing that in. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have, like, end of day rituals?
Well, I really like even the middle of the day, too. Like, I have this friend who has this tattoo where her watch was once, and it has 12:34, so that's the time, 12:34. So whenever she looks down, or whenever she sees that time, it's take a minute of gratitude. And I love that. I might get a tattoo like that myself.
I'm curious about,
like,
the time. Was that significant, the 12:34?
I'm sure it was to her. Oh. But and now it's significant to me. Like, I love numbers. I love angel numbers, like repeating numbers, 333, 1111, and now 1234, because to me it means gratitude. The more gratitude that we can feel in our lives, the better our lives will be. And, for example, there's a difference between going for a walk or going on a gratitude walk. Right? Like, you can infuse these attitudes that, or these feelings that you want to feel, into any of these rituals. The end of the day, you can really create this essence of abundance, right? Like clean sheets, or lighting a candle, or taking a Epsom salt bath, like just creating this really abundant, intentional evening routine sets you up for a good morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I think we've given lots for people to think about, and we encourage you to develop your own rituals and routines. And if you want to drop a comment about a routine or a ritual that feeds you, we'd love to hear from you.
I also want to add, like, one of my favorite things that I've done in the past is before you go to bed, write a question, and then let your subconscious work on it during the night, and then in the morning, write the answer before you check your phone, before you do anything. Yeah. That's a real fun one to add.
Yeah.
I definitely want to add that to this year when I remember.
This is the problem. There's so many great tools and rituals, and there's so little time.
And pick what works for you, and don't feel bad if you're not doing something that other people, you know, do.
Yeah, I think it's important to give permission to let go. I think if you have made a resolution or an intention or tried to instill a habit and it has fallen away, just give yourself permission to say, that wasn't the way that my body or my psyche wants to go about it. There's a better way.
And you can add something to what you already have. Like, you brush your teeth in the morning or in the evening, whatever. You can add something that you want to that. add something to whatever you usually do is a fast way to add a new habit that you want.
Start small. Yeah. All right. So I think that's it for our episode today. And until next time,
be the hero of your own journey.